Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why? Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Thursday, January the 11th, 2018. And our calling number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Delighted and honored that you're with us once again as we move into this conversation about first century Aramaic forgiveness. And we are starting each day out, if you haven't been with us the last several days, we're starting each day out with a lesson from A Course in Miracles. Had a request that we do that, and so we're going to work throughout the year through all of the lessons. So today being the 11th, we are on lesson 11. Just a recap of the early lessons, basically, from lessons that say nothing I see in this room means anything, to I've given everything the meaning it has for me, to I do not understand anything, these thoughts do not mean anything, I'm never upset for the reason I think, my mind's always giving me excuses, but it's not the truth. I'm upset because I see something that is not theirs, lesson 6. And when we say, I see something that's not there, virtually everyone goes, but I can see it. It's like, well, what is it you're feeling? Do you think you're feeling what's out there, or are you feeling what's in here? Then perhaps what you're feeling isn't really out there. Perhaps it's in here. And then lesson 7 talks about, I see only the past. 8, my mind is preoccupied with that past thoughts. 9, I see nothing as it is now. The objective of the Course is to empower us to visit the actual present. And when we're there, we're going to get a present, a gift. Lesson 10, my thoughts do not mean anything. And today being the 11th, leave this on lesson 11. By the way, you can just Google this and you'll find this list in the on the web. And you can just download it to your computer, your phone, or whatever, so you can keep up with this and have them all right there in front of you. So now the thought for the day, number 11, is my meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. Now, of course, I say, but I have a meaning for this. I got it. But you remember the earlier lesson that says, I've given this all the meaning it has for me. Does the thing itself, does the event itself, does the experience itself have the meaning you're giving it? Or is this a meaning you've engaged in before? And if it's a meaning you've engaged in before, can you stop long enough to go, I've been through this one 87 different times with 42 different people, and every time I was sure it was all about them. But gee, Michael, maybe you're right. I'm the one who's feeling this. And maybe I can't feel anybody else's. Maybe what I'm feeling is something I'm generating. And if I'm generating it, then I can change it and generate something else. The challenge is that if it's an issue that's so deeply emotionally painful, if it's an energy, a dynamic, an experience that's gone on generation after generation after generation, then it has a whole lot of appeal and can keep us stuck in the energetic dynamic of the past that generates a perception that has me believe that what I'm experiencing is outside of me instead of inside of me. So when I realized that I create the feelings I experience, it's a great quote from the Course, I create the feelings I experience, I decide upon the goal I would achieve, and everything that seems to happen to me, I ask for and receive as I have asked. That particular lesson, I don't remember the page, goes on to say, deceive yourself no longer that you are helpless in the face of what has been done to you. Acknowledge, but that you have been mistaken, and all effects of your mistakes will disappear. Now, one of the most terrible things that the ego can hear is, oh my God, I made a mistake. This is my fault. The ego talks about fault as opposed to responsibility. We have no interest in this work in fault whatsoever. The most blessed thing, if you are living in blockage of truth, how can you tell if you're living in blockage of truth? You're in pain. The most blessed thing you could have is someone who has the brain cells and the wherewithal to hold the space and show you what it is that you're doing to yourself and perhaps doing to others along the way. And once you get over having to defend that, the most powerful and the most empowering piece of information you'll ever get is, oh my goodness, I didn't see I was doing this. Gee, and here I thought I was an innocent victim. All of this trauma was coming from outside of me. I had nothing to do with it. I really thought it was all their fault. Know that I played this role in it. I didn't know that I was doing this that keeps producing that result. And when you get the feedback that says, you know, you might want to look at this behavior and see if, you know, maybe it's what's created trauma after trauma, relationship after relationship. And especially when you see that your perception at least shows you that the traumas are similar, then you get to know that you're involved. Otherwise, the power of this particular lesson, lesson 11, my meaningless thoughts show me a meaningless world, really tells me that the story that I've told myself about how this is all about somebody else, they're like this, it's all their fault, the story that I keep telling myself is a lie that keeps me in the pattern of behavior that keeps producing the insanity that I want to blame on somebody else. And when you choose to give that up, the whole game changes. Get to live in a different world. And so that's the essence of this lesson and where we're heading with understanding that if my thoughts in particular, if my thoughts are based in hostility or fear, I can think thoughts that come from what was called in the ancient teachings the mind of God or the mind of Christ. I can think thoughts from there. And in fact, that's the only time I'm actually thinking. When carbon-based memory cycles information, all it's doing is cycling information. It's not thinking at all. So when I make the shift out of the meaningless thoughts that create a meaningless world, I get to play the game differently. And life just gets to be a whole lot more fun. But if life gets to be fun and you crap on it with hostile or fearful or unkind thoughts, then you might want to shift into something different. Trying to think of his name, the fellow that's considered to be the father of modern psychology. His name's not coming to me, but he says there are three things that are important in the world, three things for human beings to really be cognizant of. And number one is kindness. Number two is kindness. And number three is kindness. Puking on people with your power person dynamics is not kindness. And it will produce the same results as the last time and the time before and the time before. When I recognize that, I look back at my power person and watch how they did it and the results it produced in their relationship, I might want to say to myself, am I doing something that's producing a result that I don't like? And if there's hostility or fear that comes with the result, you know, people say, well, pardon me, what did I do to deserve this? And I ask people in that moment, well, what were you feeling when it happened? Rage and, you know, inadequacy. Okay, so that's what you did to produce that result. And they say, no, you don't understand, Michael. Those things came after the result. No, those things were unconscious and out of awareness and produced the result. And when the result showed up, it brought those things forward for you to look at. That's why you're feeling them. So when you can get to that level of ownership, then all of life simply becomes a wonderful feedback mechanism. And you get to move out of the thoughts of the past, the power person dynamic, and into literally one of the ancient teachings, and this is not a religious idea, literally is called the mind of Christ, an open channel to the Creator's mind, an open channel to love's mind. And if you have a picture of the Creator, it's this guy with a white suit and, you know, a white beard sitting on a throne somewhere in the sky, throw it away. That's an ancient fantasy of the Greeks. The Creator is love. You live, move, and have your being in an energy field. You are moving at thousands of miles an hour through an energy field called love. No, we're not, Michael. I'm sitting still. I can look around the room. I'm not moving. Yeah, everything is moving at a phenomenal speed. And when an energy field, you remember we were told we were made in the image and likeness of love, of the Creator. When you move an energy field that is made of a matching substance to another field that has a similar structure, there's an exchange of energy. So by the simple fact that we are alive and we are moving through space, I think scientists tell us something like 7,000 miles an hour. That means that moving through this field of love in which we live, move, and have our being, there's a principle called induction that induces literally a current flow within your cells. The current flow is bliss. Every cell in your structure right now is experiencing bliss simply because it exists in this energy field. If there are generations and generations and generations of meaningless thoughts that have been overlaid, then we can experience the feelings that come from those meaningless thoughts and say, well, you know, where's this bliss you're talking about? I've never had it. Go read the Aramaic Beatitudes on our website. It's a set of instructions for how to access the neural structure that empowers us to tap into that. And that's what we're here to support you doing. And to support you in learning how to access and forgive, that is, remove everything that's unlike that state of bliss, so that as you complete your work, the only thing left is this moving through space, that because you exist, because the Creator put the breath of life in you, you deserve. And when that is the predominant resonant energy in the cell, all dis-ease has to disappear from the cell. If your cells are diseased, it's because you've got another idea. You've got a meaningless thought in your structure that's creating results called disease and distortion. Forgive, access, and remove the disease and distortion, and bingo, like literally in an instant, the energy field that we call the cell totally, completely reorganizes itself into a healthy state. It's as natural as flying through space, which we are doing. So we appreciate you being here to enter the conversation. And if you have any questions or thoughts, if you're on the phone, you could push 1, and that will put a hand up, and Jeannie will introduce you by your area code. If you're in the chat room, if you're a guest, then unfortunately you can't type or ask questions, but a short registration process with Blog Talk will enable you to do that. And Blog Talk is very private with with email addresses when you register. So you don't have to be concerned about that, and that will allow you to interact with others in the chat room. And if you're in the chat room and you want to ask a question, our call-in number is 563-999-3581. We'd love to hear your voice. We'd love to support you in whatever your questions are. We have, finally, we were trying to rearrange. We put some effort into rearranging our dates to facilitate folks joining us for the teacher's training or the 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again that we're doing in March, and unfortunately we were not able to rearrange the dates. So starting on March the 1st, we will be on the beach in Oak Island, North Carolina. We have a beautiful 7-bedroom, 6.5-bath house right smack on the beach. You walk out the back door and you are on the sand in the ocean. And so we'll be starting that March the 1st. If you'd like to be part of that group, it's limited, I think, to 14 people, if I remember correctly from last year. Then connect with us. Let's get set up and get you registered. We've got a 9-day Why Is This Happening to Me Again that I'll be doing. And Jean will be doing a parallel Women Healing Women, which includes all of the Why Is This Happening to Me Again material. We'll be joining through the two groups as we run simultaneously those two intensives when we do energy field work and still point breathing and food, of course. So if you're interested in the Women Healing Women, powerful process where Jeannie opens a space for women to look at and deal with women's issues, which, you know, right now are really powerful and big up in people's faces around the country. No question about that. And it's certainly an idea whose time has come. It's time to shift this culture up a notch into respect for each other, truly living as human beings. And as human beings, being able to be the space of love with each other and for each other, rather than some of the abuses that have taken place in the past. So I'm here to support that happening, and if you want to join us for that intensive, then touch in with Jeannie or myself. You can go to the website, and the flyers are there with the dates. It'll be the Women Healing Women and Why Is This Happening to Me Again. We'll start on the 1st of March and go through the 9th. And then the evening of the 9th, it'll complete on the morning of the 9th. The evening of the 9th, we'll start the teacher's training. And the 9-day Why is a prerequisite for teacher training. And it'll go through the 17th, so if you want to join us. If there's enough interest in it, we will also do a 3-day personal code evaluation training. We didn't put that on the website, or maybe we did put that on the website, where we're just sending out a flyer, and it isn't actually on there. But if people are interested, if we have enough requests, then we'll schedule that after the end of the teacher training. For those who are doing teacher training and want to utilize the personal code evaluation tools, then that will be part of the process. So we appreciate you being here. Jeannie, anything to share about the Women Healing Women?
No, I like you said, I do cover the material that you cover in the 9-day Why. And so if you do the Women Healing Women, you're also qualified to do the teacher's training at the end of that time as well. And we have Camille in the chat room, and she said, thank you for reviewing the Course in Miracles lessons. Michelle's also with us in the chat room. We do have a hand up, and I believe it's Roma.
Great. Let's say hello. We haven't heard Roma's voice in a while. Hey there, young lady. How are you here? How do you be?
Oh, I'd be great today. Wow. Yeah, I had a profound
Does that
feeling
mean you
yesterday.
Weren't so great yesterday?
Yeah, it means that for the last couple of months I've been having a hard time. And, and I had a phone conversation with a woman who's very powerful, like me. I'm another powerful woman, and it's really nice when you put two powerful women together. So anyway, we were talking, and I suddenly felt this pain in the front part of my heel bone in my right foot, and I said, wait a minute, I want to look at this. And I looked at it, and I saw that I was on a battlefield, and I was running from somebody, and I stepped on something sharp, and I ended up falling over and then being killed on the battlefield. So it was, as I was sharing that information, this terror was pouring through my body from the bottoms of my head all the way up to the top of my head. So
you know
it was a tremendous Yeah, yeah, because and it was interesting because she had called earlier in the morning and I couldn't access the phone, and I was afraid of talking to her, so I took a worksheet out and I did a worksheet, and it, you know, it had to do with fear of my sister when I was a child. So did it, and then at the end of the worksheet I was open and physically trembling, and then we went through this experience together. So it was powerful. And I'm feeling better.
All right.
Yeah,
nice
it was so sweet.
I'll just give you
and it was interesting because she specializes in, excuse me? What'd you say?
Go ahead. Go ahead. I've got some feedback on the language used, but go ahead.
Oh, all right. Well, give it to me. Let's have the feedback.
Well, go ahead with what you had to say, and we'll go back to it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah. She specializes in IFS, internal family systems, which is, you know, mm-hmm. you're looking inside, but finding exiles and defenders and protectors and stuff like that. And, you know, I explained to her that I've been doing Why Is This Happening to Me Again work for the last almost 30 years. And we had this vision that we were standing on two sides of a huge canyon. And that from, because our work is different, because she came to the radio program once, and I don't know, you know, when it was or what, but she was absolutely, it just wasn't her thing. So she was interested enough to come, you know, to come on to this experience we're having right now. But
right.
I realized, I said to her, you know, these are different cultures, like the difference between a yogurt culture and a kefir culture, you know. And yet they both are accomplishing, they're both after the same thing, which is the freedom of the human being to be completely liberated and to live in love. And so we committed, and we realized that we were standing on the opposite sides of this huge deep canyon, and that we were in the process of building a bridge across the canyon. So that was really exciting. Yeah, it was very nice. But, you know, I couldn't have talked to her if I hadn't done that worksheet first.
Right.
And the fact that my body was trembling at the end of the worksheet, and yet I knew that I had completed, you know, I had released the fear enough to be able to continue with the work and basically, essentially, to relate to another person is going out into the world, even if you're sitting on your phone. So that was cool.
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, you want to tell me what you were hearing before?
Oh, yeah, when you said you did a worksheet on fear of your sister.
Yeah. Well, it turned out my fear of her was actually based on the fear of my sister. I mean, that's what
fear
was anchoring.
Of her. Fear of
the
her
fear
being...
of my friend on the phone yesterday,
okay.
Right, in present time, is based on the being beaten up by my six-year older sister when I was a child.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I processed that. That was great to process that on the worksheet, and then I was able to be in. I love, you know, the possibility of being in the actuality of the moment with people. That's so totally
feedback.
Awesome. Yeah. Actuality rather than reality. Using your terminology, you know, I think it's so nice to be able to have that distinction. And, you know,
for sure.
When I go out into the world and I'm open, I see so much beauty. It's so delightful.
It's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it is.
Are you open to feedback?
What? What'd you say?
Are you open to feedback?
I am.
Good. Okay. So let's go back to the lesson for the day. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear in your conversation two meaningless thoughts that would be really good to bypass because then you'll get to the root of it.
Okay.
The first meaningless thought was that you had fear of this friend and talking to them.
Mm-hmm.
The second meaningless thought is that you had fear of your sister from being beat up with her. My offering would be...
I mean, yeah, I definitely had fear of my sister when I was a child.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so notice that you're really committed to that meaningless thought, and I'm offering that that's not true. You were never afraid of your sister.
Yeah.
But.
Well,
you had
say
a lot
more
of fear.
About that. Huh?
You had a lot of fear.
Yeah, absolutely.
And, your
and it
sister,
was so wonderful to access the past life memory that there was a tremendous ocean of fear stored there. Yeah, go on.
So that's my point.
Yeah.
So notice that your meaningless thought is that I have all this fear of my sister. And then you do a worksheet and you go back and you find out that you were filled with fear. Your sister was able to trigger your fear, and you
right.
held a belief that it was about your sister. And
exactly.
you've been holding that belief until this very moment. Hopefully after
right.
this moment, you won't be anymore.
Right.
But your sister was the trigger for something that was already in you.
Yeah, of course.
And
yeah.
the problem with holding meaningless mm-hmm. thoughts like that
mm-hmm.
is that if I keep believing that my fear is about my sister
mm-hmm.
or about this phone call that I don't want to make, then
mm-hmm.
holding that thought is going to cause my mind to produce a reality
mm-hmm.
that shows me that, as you said, well, I definitely have fear of my sister, that my fear is about my sister.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you've already touched into the knowing that it was from this experience, at least the level of knowing that it was from this experience on a battlefield.
Yeah,
but your
yeah.
mind's still insisting that it was about your sister. And remember our definition of denial. When I think or speak as though something outside of me, my sister, this friend, is the cause of what I'm doing to myself with my mind,
mm-hmm.
i.e., empowering fear in myself, then I have to dissociate from the root of that fear.
Now, what do you mean by
and
that?
And when I dissociate, well, what,
wait,
I mean
what do you mean
is
by that?
I
dissociate from the root of that fear.
Okay. So
say more about
so let's,
that.
Let's lay a foundation. I'm going to, but you got to give me the space to do it. So let's go to the root. Let's lay some foundation.
Okay.
So remember the Harvard research we've talked about. 10,000 brain cells are firing. 9 bits of data come to conscious awareness.
Right.
Estimate is there are 20 trillion bits of data potentially available.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that recruits the surface mind's perception, the construct of the moment that says that it's about this or that or the next thing, is my words. So
mm-hmm.
I've got 10,000 brain cells that are actually firing who knows how many trillions of bits down there. And in a 20 trillion bit world, my words say, mind, the only brain cells you are allowed to use to tell me about this fear is brain cells that are associated with my sister. And my mind will produce a construct, a reality that will convince me and assure me that my fear is about my sister. And that's a lie. And
mm-hmm.
to do that, in order to be in that hallucination, in that fraud, I have to dissociate from the real root of my fear and the fact that there's fear in me. Same thing on the battlefield. Being on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. I was
fear.
That was my next
Actually,
question. But isn't it the same
yeah.
thing? You know, even though it's a past life memory and
take
it was
breath,
and it was a real
breath,
event,
a
it's the same
take
reality,
breath,
isn't it?
Take a breath.
So,
take a breath.
Is there any such
take
thing
a breath,
as fear?
Take a breath. Take a breath.
Okay.
Hold silent for a minute. You got to let me finish because
okay.
every time we're getting to an important part, you start to talk.
All right.
And you interrupt the flow of information. So just
all
take
right.
a breath and just let yourself be with the feedback.
Okay.
So when I say that I had fear over dying on the battlefield,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing the same thing.
Right.
If I have fear, my mind can use any object of attention available. And the root of that is that there's a part of my mind that I've cut off from love.
Mm-hmm.
And it is the restoration of love that's going to fill that space and eradicate what appears as fear. Fear has no substance. Fear is just an absence.
Right.
Just like, you know, just like darkness. Nobody's ever figured out or built a flash dark. You turn it on and all the light goes out. Because darkness is an absence. Fear is an absence. And so when I've cut myself off from the presence of love, an object of attention comes along, and I think or speak as though that object of attention is the cause of my fear. And now I cut off from the cause of my fear, the absence of love, and my mind builds me a reality that it's about the phone call, the sister, the experience on the battlefield.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea, instead of trying to figure all that out, is that each time I find myself void of love, doing that to myself with my own mind, I want to look at the goal that's involved in the situation, cancel the goal, bypass the dissociated part of the mind, and access the root that's underneath it. When I bring love to the root that's underneath it, I fill that void that seems to be the source of fear, and fear dissipates and disappears. And now all that's left is love.
Yeah.
And so just to be aware of, you know, Shakespeare says, my words fly up, my thoughts remain below.
Mm-hmm.
And when I use my words to convince my mind that it's outside of me rather than inside of me, then I start looking outside of me, and I'm never going to find an answer there. So just, you know, just being able to observe my own words. And when I do, it's like, oop. Oh, that one can't be, that can't be true. So now I do another piece of work, and it just shortcuts the whole process. I can save myself years by watching every word I speak, and whenever my mind, which is probably a generational pattern, you know, if you look back to, you know, let's say your home with your parents, if one or the other your parents were upset, how often did you hear them say to their spouse, you know, dear, when you do thus and so, whatever it is that they're blaming it on, when you do that, it brings up a lot of rage or fear in me, and what I'd really like to do is heal my rage and fear rather than be stuck in it. How many times did you hear that? Probably never. None of us did. And so,
you know, last week,
we've inherited patterns of speaking.
Last week you were talking about the power person on, I think it was Friday. Was it? Yeah, last week, Friday.
Right.
You were talking about power person, and I was sitting there listening, and I was thinking, well, what did I do with my power person? And what I realized is that after my mother lost trust, my father divorced her behind her back. And then he was trying to take her three children away. And luckily I heard the argument he was having with his new wife and went home. I was a five-year-old girl, went home and told my mother, and she called the mover immediately. And by the time night was, by the end of the day, all the furniture was out of the house. We left the house. I looked back. The doors and windows were boarded up. And in the middle of the night, I was on a bus with my mother and my two siblings. And I looked around in the dark. And I said, where's Daddy? And they said, oh, he's not coming.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, see, where am I going with this? Yeah. So I was looking at what is the pattern in my life that my mother, as a power person, whom I lived with alone, for just she and I, for many years after that. And what it was the suppression of the life force itself. And I've really been kind of studying that because I bought into this thing that the, what's it called? There's another transformational system. And there are four personality types, and my personality type is projector, human design system. And I'm a projector. And generators and manifestors have energy, but projectors and reflectors don't. And the way they get their energies from other people and external things. And I bought into that for a while, and I think that's one of the things that was, I went into a nosedive. And when I made the decision that this suppression of life force energy in me alone, when I'm in my house by myself alone, was what I learned from my mother's modeling when I was living with her alone during my entire teenage years, then I made a decision. And the decision is to come fully alive by myself. Me alone, with me, I choose to be fully alive and creative. And since then, I've been starting to sing again. And I had this experience because when I had that experience with my friend on the, fantastic because I really miss singing. So it's really exciting. And that's something that you only do that by yourself, you know. I mean, you can take it out into the world once you've accomplished it. It's like being a painter. You've got to paint the painting first. And being a singer, mm-hmm. you've got to develop and use the instrument. You could call it in rehearsal time, you know. But anyway, I haven't been singing for over 3 years. Anyway, but when this fear was coming through my body, and I was associating it and discovering that past life memory, it was like a wave of energy. And, mm-hmm. you know, it's like you say 70 times 70 or 77 times 70, you know, that we do it in layers. We peel them off in layers.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. So, I have a question for you. I'm going to be at Unity Village in...
Hold on.
Okay,
Before we leave this topic, I have a question for you.
Mm.
When you found out that Dad wasn't coming...
Oh, yeah.
How did you feel?
Well, I stomped into the front of the bus, and I walked down the stairs, and I started banging on the doors, demanding to be let off the bus in the middle of the night. That's what I did. I was enraged.
Mm. Yeah. Okay.
I wasn't going to leave my
mom. So now... Under stress in relationships,
yeah.
over the years of your life,
yeah.
what have you done? Did you do what your power person did, and that was leave? And then find yourself enraged over all of it?
Well, my first husband left me for another woman. But that was probably because I was unable to be fully alive in my relationship with him. And when he left me, I remember sitting on the edge of the bed saying, I must not be good enough for a good husband. Mm-hmm. I decided that I wasn't good enough. And then I met the husband that you knew, my second husband.
Do you suppose?
Yeah.
Before you move too fast, do you suppose that the five-year-old perhaps held thoughts of there being something wrong with her, that
no.
her father wasn't coming?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I didn't. I don't know. I've heard in the past that a child that's 5 years old is madly in love with the parent of the opposite sex. And that was my reality. I adored my father.
So, great. I wasn't talking about how you felt about your father. I was saying, here I am now. I'm 5 years of age. I have this man that I cherish.
Yeah.
And now I am separated from him. He is not coming with me.
Yeah.
What impact did that have?
Well, I was left alone with my mother and my siblings.
Breathe. Do you think it related at all to the conversation that you had?
I can't hear your words.
Sitting on the side
I'm
of
sorry,
the bed.
Say them again. Say your words again.
Okay, take a breath. Yeah, take a breath.
Well, I'm in the middle of having some discharge right now.
Well, so we're here to support you. Breathe.
I can hear now.
So do you suppose?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm listening.
So do you suppose that the conversation you had sitting by yourself on the edge of your bed after your first husband left, there must be something wrong with me.
Yeah.
Do you suppose that might relate to any thoughts you've blocked of the five-year-old who had this father that she deeply cherished who didn't come with her?
No, it never occurred to me that I knew that we were leaving him. I didn't perceive that he left me. It was obvious to me that we were leaving him, and that was not okay with me.
Yeah.
was enraged.
Yeah, I got it.
I was banging on those damn doors, demanding he be left off that bus. Oh, God.
So that'll be a good layer to peel through and get rid of.
Yeah, which one? What? What?
So a little bit of stirring for you today. So you had another thought or question?
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, in that phone call yesterday, when I remembered, you know, falling on the battlefield and then my head being bashed in and my back being cut to ribbons, I also began to die. And I started to talk about that with her because this light started dawning. I had my eyes closed, and suddenly I began, this round light was getting bigger and bigger and bigger. But she didn't have the listening for me to go through that, so I didn't get to go through it. And I really wanted to. I wanted to see where I went. I wanted to go with that experience. Yeah.
Sounds like it'd be a powerful meditation to do.
Yeah, right.
Maybe do a worksheet or two around that. Maybe a worksheet around, you know, if she couldn't go there, did she inhibit what you were ready to process? And
well, you know,
maybe clear
I learned
later.
From Werner Erhard a long time ago to listen to the listening, and then I used that all the time in my ministry. I would do the outline of my sermon for Sunday on Saturday night, and then I would stand at the podium with that piece of paper in front of me, and half the time I would be listening to the listening in front of me, the people in my congregation, and I would end up delivering a different sermon. And she didn't have the listening for me to go through that with her.
Yep.
So how would you speak that on the worksheet?
Well, I would do a worksheet or two around, you know, if she was there to facilitate you, why wouldn't she facilitate you?
Oh,
whatever,
I don't.
You know,
I don't think I need to do worksheet on why somebody else's reality is. I only would want to do it on my reality, wouldn't I? I mean,
well,
I don't know how I could do a worksheet on somebody else's reality. I experience when she didn't have the space for that?
When you ask a question, you got to take a breath and slow down.
Okay.
So I'm not suggesting you do a worksheet on her reality. You have a reality that she didn't, couldn't, wouldn't, whatever it was.
Yeah, right.
And I suggest forgiving us to that, your reality.
Yeah.
And then I suggest perhaps doing a meditation that takes you through the rest of that.
Yeah.
All that gives you the space to clear it out if there's any other work to be done.
Yeah. Wow. So exciting. Oh, my God. And I had a physical therapy session later in the day yesterday. And when I left the session, got back in the car, and the radio was on, and there was, oh, God, there was an opera singer on the radio, and the actuality of the ecstasy of that sound was so real for me. And I know this is all partly because I had asked myself the question, what did my power person give me? And that was that numbness. And my decision.
So that would be a good one to undo. And the numbness is usually a cover for pain. The numb is just a drug. It's just the effect of a drug. So when you uncover that pain, and I have this sneaking suspicion, and I'm certainly, it may be nothing but my own projection, but my sneaking suspicion is that the conversation you had sitting on the side of the bed relates back to earlier times. So I just invite you to look at that. Maybe that's what the numbness is covering, and maybe it's not.
Let's talk about that, what I said at the side of the bed when my first husband left me. I must not. It's a conclusion. My simple childlike mind it was from that childlike mind. I must not be good enough for a good husband.
Yeah.
That was so, it came directly out of my primal innocence.
Yeah, I hear you. It's one of the most common thoughts on the planet.
I must not be good enough.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right.
It's one of the most common thoughts on the planet. It's one of the most common thoughts religions have given to people for centuries. You
yeah.
were born in sin. You were conceived in sin. You're broken. There's something wrong with you. I mean, that's just been around the churches forever. And it's an insane thought that needs to be healed.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you sound like you've got your 77 times 70 worksheets for today.
Well, yeah. Oh, so I wanted to ask you. I'm going to be at Unity Village on June with Divine Science from June 12th through the 16th. And I wondered if
right.
I could come to Heartland after that for the last half of what's it called?
Some work. We could arrange
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Could I do that?
Cool.
Okay, good.
Of course. Yeah.
Just wanted to make sure it was okay for someone to come late.
Sure. Just drop me an email with the details and we'll set it up.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. Well, we'll look forward. We'll get to see you this summer. I haven't seen you in, God, I don't even remember last time. 12
oh,
years?
Oh, it's been years.
Like,
oh, it's been the 1990s.
Yeah,
yeah, it's been since the 1990s.
No, I think you've been back. I think you've been back to Heartland since the 90s.
No, I haven't. I was busy with the church.
You came back from India.
Through, huh?
What? You visited us when you came back from India once, back maybe 12, 15 years ago, something like that.
Came back from India in 2009. And I came right here to Maui, and I haven't left since. I mean, you know.
Okay, well,
really
it was
haven't.
Another trip from India. Anyway, whatever.
No, I know what it was. It was in 1999, and I ended up, it was right after my divorce from John Copeland, and I came out to Heartland thinking that I wanted to live there, and you said, here, take over the kitchen, and I felt overwhelmed because I was recovering from a nervous breakdown, and I went to Branson and got a job there in a, you know, one of those shows there that was like a Broadway show for 2 years. And it was during that time that you saw me. And that was around, and that was, that was up until 2000, until 9/11. And then my church came and found me in Branson, and I went back to the church. I haven't seen you since the beginning of the year 2000. Yeah.
Cool. That's
so there we go.
Well, you have a nice
all right.
day, and Dee's another caller for us, so we're going to say hello.
All right. Very good. Thank
all
you
right.
very much.
Blessings.
Aloha,
okay, well,
everybody. Thank
the work you.
You
got to do. Okay, aloha. Bye-bye. So, Jeannie, you've got another caller for us.
We do, and I think it's Terry from North Carolina. It's 910. You're on the air.
Hey, y'all. I'm so glad to hear your voices.
This hey, young lady. Good to hear yours, too.
Yeah,
yay.
So I've been spreading the news, and I just want to make sure I've got the news right. When will you be coming to Unity in Wilmington?
I don't have the dates in front of me, but Jeannie does. We'll be starting the intensive on the 1st of March, so it's the week before that.
Right. I got that changed around again at work. We'll see if they get me off.
We start there on Sunday, February the 18th
okay,
through the 24th, and then we start the intensive the next Thursday, March 1st. All the flyers have been updated, and they're on the website, too.
Yeah, I got the flyers for the intensives, and I reconfigured my request at work. And but I've been telling people that y'all were coming, and so I wanted to make sure that I was telling the truth.
Awesome. Well, we're going to do Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at Unity in Wilmington in February. So.
Excellent.
We'll look forward to hugging
and the
you
flyer
next.
For that is the flyer for that's on the website as well.
All right. Well, anything else exciting and on your mind, young lady?
Well, not really. I'm doing my walk. I have been looking into why I think I need to carry all this extra weight. And it's very interesting what's coming up.
Well, we support you breathing through what comes up and doing the next level of work.
And I think the thing that is so amazing to me is that when I allow myself to just observe my thoughts and then they'll come up, and it's very easy to understand why I've denied them because they seem kind of silly. But unfortunately, they are what is driving my life. And that's what I love about this work, is that as I do the work and my vitality raises, then this old gunky stuff that I don't consciously think of all the time bubbles up so that I can release it. That's
the beauty of it, isn't it? Absolutely.
Yeah.
I'm in full agreement. I was actually talking to Dameron this morning, and we were talking about the missing piece of the work. Actually, I've had that conversation with about three different people in the last 2 days. I had dinner with a friend last night. He's like, it's like this piece doesn't exist anywhere else, and that is, there's actually a way to de-energize and remove the hostility and fear. It's like, what a radical thought, rather than, what do I do with this? Oh, I guess I puke on somebody, blah, 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 or myself. It's like, there's actually technology available to remove it. And the technology's been around for over 2,000 years and been hidden from us. And it is pretty awesome to touch into it and comprehend its real meaning, that each and every person can have the tools in their hands to remove this insanity and get back to being human beings. How cool.
That is so phenomenal for me.
It is.
That it's been right there all along, and we've just been reading what we wanted to.
Mm-hmm. Well, you got to have the brain cells. I don't know whether you've been on the show when I talked about the movie The Accountant. Pretty heavy-duty movie.
Oh,
not what everybody really wants to see. But at the end of the movie, there's a song. And the song at the end of the movie has a line in it that just knocked my socks off. And what it says is, you can't read a book you haven't written.
Wow.
Why can't anybody read the scriptures accurately? Because they didn't write it. They didn't have the experience. You can't talk about an experience you haven't had. You can read about somebody else having an experience, and you'll use the brain cells you have to describe that experience. Until you have it yourself, you can't talk about it. And
absolutely.
I say that from experience, because for many years I taught people to cancel goals, but I didn't comprehend it. I didn't know how it worked. I knew that it worked. But until I had the experience, I couldn't write about it, couldn't talk about it.
Well, we talked about that
now,
at Mind Shifters the other day, and how, when somebody, I'm a planner, I've got everything planned out. I got my life planned out. I got your life planned out. I got everybody's life planned out. And so, not anymore, thank God. But when this idea came and Susan said, you got to cancel your goal, it's like, no, not me. Because I worked hard on these plans, and I'm going to, make sure that they all come to fruition. And then when I finally learned what it meant to cancel the goal, what freedom. What incredible freedom.
Absolutely. You know what the common link is between the codependent and God, don't you? They each have a plan for your life.
Absolutely, and I was. I mean, when I first went to Al-Anon, they told me I wasn't God, and I said, well, I know that. And they said, no, you don't, really, because you're doing this and this and this and this and this, and that's God's job. And I'm like, oh, wow, that's the truth.
What a great piece of feedback, eh?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. All right, well, we'll look forward to hugging your neck in just a couple of weeks.
I'm looking forward to it.
All right.
I will see you then.
Bye-bye.
Thanks,
all right.
Bye.
Okay. Well, Jeannie, we got another hand up, or do we get to say hello to Dr. Tim?
We do not have a hand up, so let's talk to Tim.
How do you be, sir?
Good afternoon. I'm doing well. It's kind of disappointing to learn I'm not God, but other than that, I'm okay. Because I figure out if she's not God, then I must not be God. But
there you go. That's just terrible news, isn't it? Yeah, I thought.
Well,
it changes
my plans. I'll tell you that. I don't know about it being terrible news, but it sure makes a different layout for the rest of my day.
Yeah, for sure. Well, what's exciting in your world? Are you seeing anything in practice, anything to share with us, support group, feedback?
Well, I would just say, you know, that, it's at times it's difficult to hear when you're talking and someone's talking over you and you're talking over them, but that was a very beneficial piece of work with Roma going through all of her drama, and that I would encourage people to understand that what Roma's doing, we all do, and that the point that you were trying to make with her about it wasn't her fear of her sister. You know, this is a critical piece in the work that most people in our culture don't get and aren't taught, or pretty much taught the opposite of it. And the idea that we have this part of our mind that is trained to try and figure it out. So when I'm having all of this upset and I think it's about the person on the phone, and I do a worksheet and I realize, oh my gosh, I just thought about when my sister beat me up when I was younger, I say, oh, that's what this was about. And that's that logical part of my mind trying to figure it out again, and that's not accurate. It isn't that it's the energy I'm feeling is because my sister beat me up, any more than when I start doing the work on my sister beat me up and doing worksheets on that, I discover a past life memory of getting killed on the battlefield. Oh, that's what the fear is about. That's that mind that wants control. The ego, the 9-bit mind, wants to jump in and say, I understand, I got it, okay. And the challenge in the great spiritual traditions is to live without the knowing, to live in the questioning, to understand I'm never going to get it with that part of my mind.
And I don't have
and that's
to.
Okay. That's right. It's okay. As a matter of fact, it's ideal, because that egoic want to melt it down into the what my 9-bit mind can grasp part of my mind is always going to lead me to more fear and more sadness and more anger, because that's its currency. It's through identification with those energies and being right that it maintains its sense of self, which is false, which is pretty much the opposite of my true nature. Anyway, I just wanted to point that out. I thought it was, you know, while at times a little circuitous, the critical message is true for all of us, that when I think I know, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a great way of saying it, Tim. That whole presentation is just fabulous, right on track. So, yeah, and to recognize that, you know, you just use the tool. Use the tool. And just keep dropping into the places where there's that absent light and bring the light to it. There's nothing to figure out. It is an exciting process, and we're down to the last less than a minute. So we'll say much appreciation from everybody who plays, who participates, who shares shows, who supports us and empowers us in taking this to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. We appreciate you, and we hold the space for you to have the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world when you accept that and create it. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes, and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mind Shifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.